peace within our hearts.
There's only one road to heaven.
You say, but if I believe God, isn't that enough?
I want to tell you before you leave Madison Square Garden this night of May 15th, you can find everything that you've been searching for in Christ.
Jesus Christ is the way. He is the truth. He is the light.
He was a mighty man.
The Bible tells us that in spite of our sins and rebellion, that God loves us.
And don't let anybody ever tell you that it's white or black. Christ belongs to all people. He belongs to the whole world. I'm asking you tonight to follow him, to serve him, to let him come into your heart and forgive you.
Be forgiven. Know that you're going to heaven.
Are you willing to receive Christ tonight?
Because you may never have a moment quite like this again.
You come and receive him into your heart and say yes to him.
And say tonight, I want my sin forgiven. I want to know I'm going to heaven. I want eternal life. I'm ready to surrender my life to Christ as Lord and Savior. I want to follow him from this night on.
What a life, what a legacy Billy Graham left. Most of you probably heard this week that that he passed away. And man, you talk about somebody's life who has just impacted countless numbers of people. I mean, thousands, literally millions of people in the United States as well as across the globe. And just been such an incredible influence and role model, actually, for so many of us. So we just wanted to take a moment to just kind of commemorate, to remember just this life of a godly leader that has made such a difference in so many people's lives. And interestingly, as we begin this new series, Do Good, that we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about today is actually one of the concepts, one of the ideas that Billy Graham spent so much of his life trying to communicate, trying to help people get clarity on. So I'm excited to be able to be talking about this today. It's good to have you here with us. One of the things that I've had the opportunity to do a lot of times over the years is talk to a lot of people about their spiritual lives, not near as many as Billy Graham, but I've talked to a lot of people. One of the things that I hear as I'm around people who are searching spiritually in their lives, and this is a very common perspective, and even actually for people who would call themselves Christians, who claim to be a Christian, they'll say, you know, I'm a Christian, and I believe all the Christian stuff, but I don't believe that Christianity is the only way to heaven. And the idea that supports this notion that there are many paths to heaven is this. It's the idea that good people go to heaven. This is the idea that good people go to heaven. Not just Christians, but good Christians that go to heaven. Not just Jewish people, but good Jewish people. Not just Hindus, but good Hindus. It's good Muslims. It's good Buddhists. It's good this. It's good that. It's good Catholics. It's good Protestants. It's good Presbyterians. It's good people. It's not any one particular group of people, but it's all the good people from all the different groups of people. And in fact, the common denominator, and this is very key, the common denominator among Christians and in Jewish people and Buddhists and Catholics and Protestants and this and that, and whatever group you want to call, would be not the common denominator is not the belief system that they have. The common denominator is not necessarily the identity of their God. It's not necessarily how they worship. It's not necessarily how they pray. The common denominator is it's all the good people from all these different groups that are going to make it. And some of you here, you would even call yourself a Christian, but that's what you think. That's what you believe in your life. In fact, if God were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? And think about what would you say? And for a lot of you, what you would say is you'd say, well, you'd say something to the effect, well, I believe in God and I believe in Jesus. But then you would add on to that and you would say, and I've always done this and this and this. And I've never done this and this. And I'm a good husband or wife. I'm a good parent. You know, I've never hurt anybody. You know, I'm not perfect. And for some reason, we feel compelled to make sure everybody knows that we're not perfect. Like, thank you very much. I was concerned. I thought you were perfect. You know, I don't know why we say that, but we go, I'm not perfect. And if I were to ask you, you know, why do you think God would let you into heaven? You would probably give me a list of the things. You start naming off, well, I do this and I do this. And you'd go through all these good things that you've done. Because in our heart of hearts, a lot of us have bought in to this theory, this idea that good people go to heaven. It's not just Christian people. It's not just Jewish people. It's not just Muslims or Hindus. It's not this or that. It's not Protestant. It's not Catholic. But it's the good people from all these different groups. It's good people that go to heaven. Now, why is it that this good people go to heaven theory is so popular? And what I want to do is, as we begin, is I want to give you three reasons, and we could give more reasons, but I just want to give you three key reasons why this good people go to heaven is such a popular theory in our society. So number one, the first reason that this good people go to heaven theory is so popular is because it seems like a fair system. I mean, it just seems like a fair system, doesn't it? I mean, people who do good deserve good things, right? I mean, if you do good in school, then what's going to happen? You're going to move on to the next grade. If you do good in the tryouts, you're going to make the team. If you do good on your job, you're going to get a raise. You're going to get some kind of promotion. It's just sort of assumed. It's just sort of expected that good things should happen to good people and bad things should happen to bad people. I mean, that's just kind of how we think. It just sort of seems fair, doesn't it? And the second reason why this good people go to heaven theory is so popular is because you'll make the cut. Okay? It's because you'll make the cut. Because we tend to think of ourselves as good people, right? I mean, yeah, you know, we've blown it, we've messed up here, there, but all of us, we just kind of tend to think of ourselves as good people. So one of the advantages of believing that this good people go to heaven view is that you're going to make the cut. I mean, people's assumption is, you know, I'm going to make it because good people go to heaven and I'm a good person. I mean, I know there are people who've done better than I have, there are people who've done worse than I have, but our general assumption is that we're going to make it. Because good people go to heaven, and we're good people, so we're going to make it into heaven. Because good people go to heaven. So you'll make the cut. Number three, the third reason that this good people go to heaven is so popular, number three, is because it's very consistent with the idea of a good God. Very consistent with the idea of a good God. I mean, if there's a good God who lives in a good heaven, then it should be filled with good people, right? I mean, if heaven were full of bad people, I mean, that just doesn't even compute for us. I mean, that doesn't seem right to us. So it just seems to make sense that good people would be in a good heaven with a good God. And we could go around the room and we could come up with probably a dozen more reasons why this good people go to heaven theory is such a popular theory. But in spite of the immense popularity that this good people go to heaven view has, it really doesn't make a lick of sense. It really doesn't. I mean, smart, educated, accomplished men and women are banking their eternities on a theory that doesn't hold up under even the slightest little bit of scrutiny. It just doesn't. So what I want to do is I want to take a little bit of time to talk about the problems, to talk about the holes, the fallacies in this good people go to heaven view. Because in the coming weeks, we're going to be talking about this idea of doing good that God calls, how God calls and invites us and wants every one of us to live our lives doing good. He does in our environments and the relationships that we're a part of. God wants us to do good, but please understand this. What you need to understand is that our goodness will not get us into heaven. Please understand that. And so what I want to do is I want to try to convince you today. I'm not going to try to convince you that Christianity is right. That's not my point. What I want to try to do is I want to try to convince you that there are major, major problems with believing in this good people go to heaven perspective. Because chances are that many of you here actually believe that. So all I want to do is, I just want to kind of get you thinking. I want to get you to think. I want you to think, and I want you to realize that there are far more problems believing that good people go to heaven than there are with believing that Christians go to heaven. So what I want to do is I want to give you three problems with this view. And number one, and this is a big one. We could give more, but I'm just going to stick to these three. Number one, this is big. Number one is that there is no clear standard of good and bad. There's just no clear standard of good and bad. Now this is a big, big, big deal. There's just no clear standard of good and bad by which we can check our progress, or we can kind of assess how we're doing with God. I mean, if good people go to heaven, then we need to know what it means to be good, right? I mean, we need a list, or we need something. I mean, if good people go to heaven, then certainly this good God in a good heaven ought to be good enough to make it clear what it means to be good, what it looks like to be good, and how good is good enough. But the truth is, we don't have that information. We don't. Now, in America, what we tend to do is we tend to pull out our Bibles. And we pull out our Bible and you go, well, I'll tell you how good you need to be. Because the Bible says that you need to love your neighbor as yourself. And the Bible says that you need to love God with all your heart. And it says that you need to be kind and that you need to obey God's truth. So I'm just trying to live my life being a good person based on what the good book says. You know, I'm just trying to live according to what Scripture says. I'm trying to live my life according to what the Bible says. I want you to listen carefully to this, because for some of you, what I'm getting ready to say, this is going to burst your little bubble, okay? If what this right here, if what the Bible says is what you use as your standard for getting into heaven, you will never be this good. You're never going to be this good. If the people that do all of this are the ones that are going to make it into heaven, then ain't nobody making it into heaven. Okay? You get what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? If this is a standard, what Scripture says, nobody's making it. Nobody's making it. That's the problem with making the Bible our standard. Because here's what the Bible says. We're going to throw this up here on the screen. Romans 3, verse 23. Look at this. It says, for all, not just some of us, for all, every single one of us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They fall short of God's standard. Everybody's blown. Everybody has messed up. What that means is that everybody tried, nobody made it. Everybody tried, nobody made it. Here's another verse, Romans 3, verse 10. Says, there is no one righteous, no one, not even one. What it's saying, what the Bible says, is there are no good people. You say, but it tells us what to do to be good. Well, it does give us instructions. It does give us guidelines as to how to live our lives, but it makes it crystal clear that we will never measure up. We'll never measure up. I'm not even saying that's true. I'm just saying that's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible teaches. Here's another verse, Romans 3, verse 20. It says, Therefore, no one will be declared righteous or good in God's sight by the works of the law. Now, when it talks about the law right there, it's referring to God's law. It's talking about God's commands. So don't miss this. Look what the Bible says. No one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law. That means when we die, okay, according to the Bible, according to what Scripture says, God is not going to look at anybody and say, wow, you did such a good job keeping my laws, keeping my commandments. You're in. Bible says that's not going to happen. That's never going to happen. It says nobody is righteous enough according to the law. And look at the rest. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. You see, the Bible teaches that the reason God gave us the law, the reason he gave us the commands, wasn't to give us something to keep so we could go to heaven. The reason he gave us the law and the commandments is so we would go, whoa, I am so bad. I am so messed up. I am in so much trouble. Aren't I? Whoa. That's why it's saying right here we were given the law. Now, I'm not saying that's true. I'm just saying that's what the Bible says. I just want you to think it through. Okay? If this is your standard, if what Scripture says, what the Bible says, if your standard, if what you're looking to as a criteria for being good is this right here. I'm telling you, don't use this, okay? Don't use the Bible, because you are not this good, and neither am I. We're not. If this is a standard, there are no good people. I mean, this standard is just way, way, way too high. That's all I'm trying to say. Now, There are some people who think it's all about keeping the Ten Commandments. They may not know where to find the Ten Commandments in the Bible. They may not be able to name all the Ten Commandments, but they are very confident that they've never broken any of the Ten Commandments. But what you need to understand, the fact is, there is no connection between the Ten Commandments and heaven. None. Zero. There's no connection. I mean, it doesn't exist. You don't have to take my word for it. I mean, you can check it out for yourself. The Ten Commandments, they are found in Exodus. You can read it for yourself. But there is no promise of heaven for those that keep the Ten Commandments. There is, in fact, no mention anywhere in Exodus of the afterlife or of eternal bliss or anything like that. In fact, this is interesting. In fact, the lack of anything about an afterlife in this section of the Old Testament led one group of the Jewish religious leaders called the Sadducees to believe that there wasn't even an afterlife. There is no verse that says that if you keep the Ten Commandments, that you're going to make it into heaven. And then when you look at the New Testament, well, the New Testament, it just comes right out and says what the Old Testament implies, and that is that no one will reach God by being good. No one will. So here's what I'm saying. If somewhere in the back of your mind, somewhere in the back of your thinking, you've always believed or you've always just kind of assumed that good people go to heaven and bad people don't, and you can go ahead and believe that, okay? I'm not saying you can't believe that. All I'm saying is whatever part of this book, whatever part of the Bible you've factored into your belief system, you need to take that out, because the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible does not teach, please understand this, the Bible does not teach that good people go to heaven. Now, Some people will say, well, I'll tell you where I get my standard of right and wrong and that good people go to heaven. I think that God has put kind of like this innate sense of good and bad in all of us. I mean, we all know what's right and what's wrong. I mean, doesn't everybody know that it's wrong to steal and to kill and to lie and to break the speed limit? I mean, doesn't everybody? Oh, maybe we take out that last one, you know, we're not so sure about that one. But don't we all know that you know, killing and stealing and lying, that's wrong? So if everybody would just do what's right according to this kind of innate sense, I mean, isn't that what God is really looking for? But the problem with that kind of thinking is that it's like major wars have been fought over what two different groups thought was right. I mean, here you might have, you know, group A over here, and you go to group A, and you go, why are you guys fighting this war? Well, because we're right, and we've got God on our side. Oh, they pull out the big card there. And you go over to side B and you talk to those guys and they go, well, we're right. That's why we're fighting this war. We're right. And we've got God on our side, clearly. Think about this, a little closer to home. Not too many years ago in this country, some of us white people, some of us white church people, we had some major, 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 major confused thinking about black people. And if you were to have gone to one of these white, even religious leaders and said, why do you believe that? They would say, well, because I think that's right. And some of them were even quoting scripture. And we look at that and we're embarrassed by that. I mean, we don't even want to be associated with anything remotely like that. But if you were to ask them, do you think that's right? They go, yeah, I think that's right, because of this internal sense of whatever. If I were to ask you, do you think that's right? No, man, you'd go, no, I think that's wrong. I would say, man, that is so wrong. That is so messed up, that kind of thinking. But they didn't think that. And you say, well, it's obvious. Well, it wasn't obvious to them. So the problem is this, even if we go by our little, you know, internal gauge thing that tells us right from wrong, there's so much contradiction. I mean, there is no consensus. There's not even consensus right here. There's certainly not consensus between races. There's not consensus between nations. See, here's the big problem with this good people go to heaven view. We have no clear standard of exactly what good looks like. We have no clear standard of exactly what good looks like. It's just kind of this vague, nebulous notion that's out there. And you can't drag the Bible into your equation. I mean, just take the Bible out of it, because it's a whole different system. It doesn't fit. If we're going to go by the Bible, none of us are good enough. Again, I'm just wanting you to think, okay? But it gets even worse than that. There's another problem with the good people go to heaven theory. And that is number two, that we don't know how good is good enough. We don't know. We don't know how good is good enough. In other words, if we did know, I mean, if we all agreed on what constitutes being good, and we don't know that, okay? But let's just assume that we were all to agree on what it means to be good. We still don't know what percentage of our actions need to be good in order to get in. We don't know. I mean, is it 50%? Is it 70%? Is it 90%? Is it 95% of our actions, of the things we do, need to be good to be able to get in? We don't know. I mean, I could go around the room. I could talk to a bunch of you. I could ask you your opinion, and you'd probably have an opinion. You might say this, you might say that, but you don't really know. It's just your opinion. You could ask me. I could give you an opinion. I don't know, though. I don't really know. I mean, is it 51%? Is it, if you do slightly more good than bad, is that enough? I mean, you might think so. You don't know. I might say so. I don't know. I mean, that's just our opinion. And you may even go, well, you know, I've never killed anybody. Well, what makes you think that's the big one? Okay, you don't know. That's the problem. We don't know how good is good enough. We just don't know. You say, well, the Bible says. The Bible says this. The Bible says, no. We're not talking about the Bible, because the Bible system is a whole different system. And you start going with the Bible system, and man, we are nowhere close to good enough. You see, here's the deal. Some of you are in trouble. Do you know why? Because you've done so many bad things up to this point in your life that you don't have enough time left in your life to do enough good things to outweigh the bad things. Man, you're in trouble. You don't have enough time to do enough good things to outweigh them. You know what? That's silly. You know, that's ridiculous. It may be silly. It may be ridiculous. I'm just trying to get you to think. We don't know how good is good enough. I mean, some people think that Christianity is unjust. I think that it's unfair. But the fact is, the good people go to heaven is way, way, way more unfair. You know what it would be like? It would be kind of like a teacher standing up in front of a class at the beginning of the semester and saying, at the end of the semester, we're going to have one test, and it's going to be pass or fail. Class dismissed. What? And somebody, before they get away, you know, everybody's going to move. Well, somebody at the back of the room kind of, are you going to give us some notes? Nope. Now the question is, are you going to give us something to read, like a reading list or something, so we know how to prepare for this? Nope. Well, is there somebody we can talk to that's taking the class, or anybody, so we can kind of know how to prepare for the test? Nope. You mean that you're going to give us a final test, pass or fail? You're not going to give us any notes, anything to read. There's nobody we can talk to? Yep. Class dismissed. That's kind of what the good people go to heaven. That's what it's about. We don't know how good is it going to be. It would be kind of like signing up for a race, and you show up for the race, and they have the starting line all marked out really well. But you look ahead, and you go, well, has anybody marked the course of where we're racing? No. How are you going to tell us how far we're racing? How long the race is? Nope. Are you going to tell us where the finish line is? We'll tell you when you cross it. And the gun goes off and people take off and they just kind of scatter and they're just taking off all different directions. You see, that's the situation if good people go to heaven. You're basing your entire eternity on something that you just made up, something that you just invented, you just kind of fabricated. I'm just telling you. As many problems as you may have with Christianity being an unjust system, I just want you to know that the problems with believing that good people go to heaven are far, far, far more complex. I mean, to believe that good people go to heaven is to embrace a system that is so unjust and that is so unfair that it breaks down at the least little bit of analysis, at the least little bit of scrutiny. You see, if good people go to heaven, then we are all in a world of trouble because none of us really have any idea where we stand. We don't know how good is good enough. And don't you dare open up the Bible or you're going to be in worse trouble, because the Bible says that none of us are good enough. Nobody is good enough. And then here's the third, and probably the biggest problem with the good people go to heaven here, and that is number three, that it makes a liar out of Jesus. It makes a liar out of Jesus. It contradicts the teachings of Jesus. I mean, if good people go to heaven, then Jesus lied. Okay? Because you know what Jesus taught? He taught the opposite. And no religious leader ever taught this. Jesus taught that bad people go to heaven and good people don't. That's what Jesus taught. I mean, back then, there was like this whole group of religious leaders, and their whole job description was basically just be good. That was it. Just be good. They wore certain clothes, certain robes, and all this kind of stuff, this fancy stuff. And there were certain things that they had to do on certain things. They had all these little rituals and things that they did. But basically, their whole life was just consumed with just be good, be good, be good, be good, be good. They were called the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I mean, they're very good. They're very religious people. But Jesus comes along. Look what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. Jesus says, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness or your goodness," that's what the word righteousness means, "unless your righteousness or your goodness surpasses or exceeds that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not," get that, not enter the kingdom of heaven. And some of the people might have gone, but Jesus, those are the goodest people they are. There's nobody gooder than them. I mean, they were like professional do-gooders. And Jesus, in essence, says, as good as they are not good enough. And then Jesus did like the strangest thing. Jesus would walk up to unholy, unrighteous, I mean, like bad people. I mean, people whose lives were messed up, who'd done things that were wrong. And he would say, "You're forgiven. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. 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 Forgiven." He taught that the best of the best weren't making it, and the worst of the worst were forgiven. You know what Jesus believed? I'm not saying this is true. I'm just saying this is what Jesus taught. This is what Jesus believed. Jesus didn't believe that good people went to heaven. Jesus believed, Jesus taught that forgiven people go to heaven. That's what Jesus taught. Not that good people go to heaven, but that forgiven people go to heaven. And there is a huge, mammoth, immense difference between the two. I mean, think about this. If good people go to heaven, then Jesus died for nothing. Jesus just died needlessly. Because if you believe good people go to heaven, just go out and be good. Jesus didn't need to die. No. The reason that Jesus had to die is that nobody is actually good enough. Because God is not only a loving God, but he is also, and so as we don't get this, but God is also a holy, a perfect, a righteous, and he is a just God. And therefore, justice must be served. Like in a court of law, there must be justice. You see, God can't do what you and I can do because we're not fully just. And you and I, we just kind of wink at sin. We just kind of act like, you know, what's the big deal? I mean, just it's not that big of a deal. We just let this stuff slide. Because God is fully holy and just. He can't just let things slide. And so there has to be a payment that is made for sin, for wrongdoing. And God, in his love, provided his own son, Jesus. Jesus came into the world to die as the perfect, came to die as the perfect sacrifice for our sins, to make the payment for our sins so that we could experience forgiveness. Now, part of the reason that we minimize the seriousness of sin is that we don't get, we don't understand and internalize the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, how just God really is. And so what we have a tendency to do is we have a tendency to just kind of compare ourselves to people around us and go, "Oh, well, I'm better than them, so I think I'm okay." Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to look at this passage of Scripture. We've kind of thrown these others up on the screen, but I want you to really see this. So if you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn to Luke 23, and we're going to wrap up with this. Now, if there's anything in you that believes that the Bible teaches that good people go to heaven, then this account ought to just put that whole theory to rest for you. Okay? Luke chapter 23, this is an account of the crucifixion of Jesus. So beginning in verse 39, this is what it says. It says, one of the criminals, if you remember the account of the crucifixion of Jesus, there were two criminals that were crucified, one on each side of Jesus when he was crucified. So one, and these criminals, these weren't just petty criminals, okay? These guys were so out of control that they couldn't even be trusted to be chained ankle to ankle to row a Roman galley ship. I mean, these were like the worst of the worst guys. I mean, the exception that was that sometimes Rome might make an example out of someone who is an enemy of the state. But these are like the worst of the worst. So it says, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, at Jesus. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But look at what happens. It goes on in verse 40. But the other criminal rebuked him. So these criminals hanging on the cross start having like this debate. They're getting at it with each other. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said, since you're under the same sentence. It goes on in verse 41. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our what? What our deeds deserve. We are getting what our deeds deserve. You know what this guy recognized? He recognized that even in a human court of law, he was being punished justly. In other words, what this criminal here is saying is, even by human standards, I am such an awful person that I deserve to die this way. And just by human standards, not to say nothing of God's standard. I mean, that's how bad this guy was. He goes on and says, but this man, Jesus, has done nothing wrong. And then he says in verse 42, then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. I mean, he's just hanging there on the cross, this terrible criminal. And he says, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Now, when you're hanging on the cross, there's no time, there's no opportunity to go, hey, from here on, I'm going to be a better father. I'm going to be a better husband. Man, I am changing. I mean, my life is going to be different. I'm turning over a new leaf. Things are going to be different from here on in my life. There's no opportunity to do that. I mean, that's it. Your life is basically over at that point. And if Jesus had believed in this good people go to heaven theory, then he would have basically said, sorry, buddy, it's too late to be a good people. If Jesus believed in good people, I mean, that's basically what he would have said. But look at what he says in the next verse, verse 43. Jesus answered him, I'm sorry, you don't have enough time to do good things. No, he didn't say that. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. And then they died. Isn't that unbelievable? This criminal never has a chance to come down off the cross and do a bunch of good things to be able to get into heaven. But Jesus said, today, you will be with me in paradise. You see, Christianity teaches that forgiven people go to heaven. That's what Jesus taught. That forgiven people go to heaven. And the way we get forgiven, and the way a person becomes a Christian is the exact same way that this criminal did. You know what this criminal did? He realized that if there was any hope, it certainly wasn't based on his goodness. He realized this is not going to be based on my goodness. And Jesus says, that's what I'm looking for. You're forgiven. You're in. That's it. Now, I know that Christianity is tough at times. And I know that there's some questions about Christianity that are hard to answer, but there are answers. And I'm telling you, Christianity is the most just and is the most fair system possible in an unjust and an unfair world. So let me just kind of summarize what we've been saying in three statements here. What could be more just? What could be more fair? What could be fair than this right here? Three statements. I encourage you to write these down. Number one, everybody is welcome. Everybody is welcome. The Bible says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord with a repentant heart, says, God, I need you. I need forgiveness. They're welcome. They can be saved. Everybody is welcome. Number two, everybody gets in the same way. Jesus said, I am the way, John 14:6. So everybody's welcome. Everybody gets in the same way. And number three, everybody can meet the requirements. Everybody can meet the requirements. I mean, can you think of anything more fair, more clear, more just than that? Everybody is welcome. Everybody gets in the same way. And everybody can meet the requirements. And Jesus said the requirements is this in John 3:16. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever does enough good things, no, not what he said, that whoever keeps the Ten Commandments, no, said whoever believes in him, puts their faith, puts their trust in him, will not perish, but will have eternal life. See, everybody is welcome. Everybody gets in the same way. And everybody can meet the requirements. Let me illustrate it this way. Look at this chair here. As I'm standing here, am I putting my trust right now in this chair? Am I trusting in this chair? This is not a trick question. Okay. No. Okay. No, I am not trusting in this chair right now. If I were to say, chair, I believe in you. I'm going to spend the rest of my life telling the world that you are a trustworthy chair, that anybody can sit in you, they can trust in you. That's what I'm doing the rest of my life. Am I trusting in that chair? Some of you are confused. No, I'm not. Okay. No, I'm not. I'm not trusting it. I'm just making statements about it and stuff, but I'm not really trusting it. But here's where a lot of us actually are in our life. If this chair represents Jesus, we're kind of here leaning on the chair, and what we're doing in our lives is we're saying, you know, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe that stuff. But what we're really banking on to get into heaven is our good things. And so if I were to ask you how you're going to get into heaven, you would start telling about the good things, the good person that you've been, and all this kind of stuff. Now, when I am leaning on the chair like this, am I trusting in the chair? You know, sort of. But, you know, the truth is, if the chair collapses, I'm still going to be okay. What a lot of us are doing is we're banking on all this other stuff to get us into heaven. But what Christianity says is that Christianity says, what Jesus taught is it's not good people that get into heaven. It's forgiven people that get into heaven. And the way we experience forgiveness in our life is to put our total trust in Jesus. If this chair represents Jesus, am I putting my trust in the chair right now? Yes, I am. My feet are off the ground. I am putting my total trust in this chair to hold me up. Our goodness, your goodness, please understand. Your goodness is not going to get you into heaven. You may think you're a really good person. You're not that good. And neither am I. The only thing that is going to get you into heaven is to put your total trust, like I am putting my trust in this chair, put your total trust in Jesus and to experience his forgiveness. It is not that good people go to heaven. It is that forgiven people go to heaven. Isn't that amazing? Now, I want to ask you a question, final question, and we're done. Here's the question. Do you remember a time in your life where you were old enough to consciously make a decision for yourself? Do you remember a time in your life where you realized that your goodness wasn't going to get you into heaven? Has there ever been a time in your life where you were old enough to consciously make a decision and say, God, I realize that my goodness isn't getting me into heaven, that I need your forgiveness in my life? And you put your trust, your faith fully in Jesus and what he did by dying on the cross for you. Has there ever been a time where you did that? And if there hasn't been, I want to give you a chance to do that so you can experience God's forgiveness. Because it's not good people that go to heaven. It's forgiven people that go to heaven. And so I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You can pray this prayer after me, or you can pray your own words. It doesn't matter. It's not so much a prayer, it's an attitude of the heart. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Would you bow your heads with me? Again, you can pray this in your own words. You can pray what I say. But the key is you gotta mean it in your heart. Would you pray and say something like this? Say, if you've never done this, would you say, Heavenly Father, I realize that I'm a sinner, and I've done things that are wrong. There's pride, there's selfishness in my life. I like to call the shots. But God, today I realize that good people don't make it to heaven. My goodness isn't going to get me into heaven. It's not going to get me into your good graces. So today, God, what I want to do is I want to put my faith, my trust in Jesus and what he did by dying on the cross, make the payment for my sins so that I could experience forgiveness. God, today, right now, I want to accept your gift of forgiveness. And God, from today on, I want to live my life following Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you for making this so incredibly clear. Thank you that everybody is welcome. Everybody gets in the same way, and we can all meet the requirements. The requirement is just placing our faith, our trust in Jesus. God, my prayer is that those who are making the decision for the first time, God, that they would have the courage to let somebody know about it. God, that you would give them a passion to live their lives for you. That they would have a desire to grow and become the person that you made them to be. Well, that's my prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen.